Somebody help me with all these papers. Thank you. All that the Lord is doing here in the church and in your future. And I'm expecting that the best is yet to come. How about you? How many's glad you're in the house of the Lord today? How many's glad you're in the house of the Lord instead of in a gutter somewhere, strung out on drugs somewhere, wrestling with alcoholism somewhere, in the middle of a tragic situation? Right now, here we are in heavenly places. And we all have our problems, and we all have our hang-ups, and we're all struggling with something, but we're here in the place we can get some help. My help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. I give honor to your wonderful pastor, Brother Daniel Kyle, and his wonderful wife. Where'd Reverend Mother get off to? I can't. She's been all over the place, praying, laying hands, ministering. She's back there. Amen. There she is. Amen. God bless. Aren't you so thankful and grateful for your wonderful pastor, his wife, family, all these leaders and elders and leadership of the church that works with them? Aren't we blessed to be part of a big family of God? Amen. Amen. Thank you for letting us come. We're over here celebrating our 31st anniversary, wedding anniversary. And amen, 31 years. And this is the way it works for an evangelist. Actually, our anniversary was almost 2 weeks ago. It was June the 15th. But I was in Singapore doing a meeting over our anniversary. So, and on Father's Day. So I told my wife, as soon as I got home, we'd do something special. And so we're up here doing something special. And part of that is being here with you. Amen. Amen. I love this church and love all of you. We have a very special guest with us today. My wife and I met a new friend, Sister Dee Dee and her daughter Sophie. Amen. And we're so glad to make them welcome. I think they've been here before, but amen. Our wonderful friends, we certainly do make them welcome here in the house of the Lord. Met her a few weeks ago. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. Tongues of inspiration, by the best I can discern. Ezekiel 37 and 1. Now, I have 14 verses, so there's two ways we can do it. I read kind of fast. It'd probably only take a minute or so, or I could read the first one and let you sit down. But is that what you like? First one's got the main point in it. All right. So verse number 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Lord, bless your word today. Bless the hearers of the word today. And allow the prophetic anointing to be upon this message and in this atmosphere. Give the Lord one great hand praise. Would you do it? I'll read the rest of the scriptures after we praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. I will bless your name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. It's always good when there's some noise during the prophesying. Amen. Suddenly there was a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, skin covered them over. but yet there was no breath in them. He said unto me, prophesy to the breath or to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. In other words, these bones are you. And they indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you. You want a prophetic word for this church today? Here it is. I will place you in your own land. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Give the Lord a great big hand praise for his word all over the house. There's life in this place today. There's divine energy in this house today. There's strength that only comes from the Lord in this house today. And there's a word from the Lord, and I'm going to just, the anointing's on it when I said it, so I'll say it now and say it again later. But I feel like it's time to bring a prophetic word to this church that the Lord is not only going to let his spirit continue to be poured out here and bring life here, but the Lord says, I will place you in your own land. We're growing out of this school. We're growing out of this place. I believe the Lord's starting to put some things together. Amen. I believe the Lord can give this church some land. I believe the Lord can put you in your own building, in your own location, in your own place. Anybody have a little bit of mustard seed faith that says, that which seems impossible, yea, it is possible with the Lord. It's beyond me, but it's not beyond him. The question that God asked Ezekiel in our text was, can these bones live? And in all fairness, it was beyond him to answer the question. Although he was a prophet and he was a man of faith, he was a man of devotion and commitment to the Lord God Almighty, he could not formulate an authentic answer to God's challenge. These, after all, were just bones now. They weren't bodies, they were bones. And they were the bones of Israel's former strength. They were the bones of what Israel used to be, but now vanquished, now defeated, now destroyed. And to compound it for Ezekiel, he wasn't just looking out over any old valley of bones of any old people, but these were his people. This was his home. This was his situation. So it was personal to him. It was a personal valley. Wasn't just, you know, it's easy for me to have faith for your valley. The hard part is faith for my valley. It's easy for me to have faith for your problems. It's my problems that get the best of me. I believe God can do everything for you. I just have trouble believing he's going to do it for me. Amen. So these bones were Ezekiel's family. These bones were Ezekiel's ancestors. These bones were personal to him. And he could not formulate an authentic answer of faith. He wanted to believe, but he just couldn't quite bring himself to it. After all, he was probably just a boy when Nebuchadnezzar took over Judah and when he took them captive. And part of the practice of those barbaric days, they would kill those husbands and kill those fathers, and they would kill all the soldiers and stack their bodies up. And the story tells in historical accounts that Nebuchadnezzar stacked those bodies on two sides and made a pathway in between. Then he marched those women and children between them bodies to the other side, just so they could get a visual, impacting understanding that you have no hope. You have no answer. There's nobody to fight for you. you're going to be in slavery and you're going to be in bondage to me and there's nothing you can do about it. This would have been many years later. Now those bones were now bleaching in the sun. And God takes Ezekiel, who is now grown, out to that valley and says, can these bones live? And he cannot formulate an answer. He cannot bring something up in the face of all that tragedy, in the face of all that pain, in the face of all that hurt. He cannot formulate his faith into words. So he was just wise enough to say, thou knowest. I don't know, Lord, what's possible. I don't know what can happen, but I do trust you. And I believe you have an answer, even though I don't have one. When you don't have an answer, just remember you know who the answer is. I don't know what the answer is, but I know who the answer is. Somebody shout Jesus. Now, Ezekiel's faith was traumatized. Ezekiel was at a stumbling block beyond him. But you and I are in a unique situation. We have a different vantage point and an advantage on this story over Ezekiel, because we have the New Testament that he didn't have. And the New Testament is overflowing with the miraculous ministry of Jesus and his disciples. We see the impossible happen over and over again. We have the advantage of seeing Lazarus come out of the tomb after 4 days dead. We see Jesus resurrected from the grave after 3 days dead. We also know the end of Ezekiel's vision. We know how the story ends. We get to watch the wind blow. We get to see the flesh and the sinew come on the bones. We get to hear the report that they stood up an exceeding great army. So we know the victory at the end of the story. So when I read, Pastor, the question that the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? There is no question mark in me. I don't look up toward heaven kind of with a puzzling mind. I don't wonder in my spirit, well, I don't know. I wonder if they can. That's not the response I have. I understand why Ezekiel did. But when I read the story, something swells up inside of me. It wants to shout. It wants to scream. I want to get involved in the story. I want to rewrite a few lines in there. Because when I read that question, can these bones live? The answer swells up inside of me. Yes! Yes, they can. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. The answer is yes. The bones are going to live. It's going to work out. A miracle is about to happen. Now you understand this story, like every other, is given to us and for us. So the yes is not just for Ezekiel. And the yes is not just for his valley. The yes is for you. And the yes is for your valley. And the yes is for your situation. And the yes is for this church. And the yes is for your life. And the yes is for your future. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Can you recover? Yes, you can. Can you be better than you are right now? Yes, you can. And yes, you will. Am I ever going to come through this? Yes, I am. Am I ever going to be happy? Yes, you are. There's a yes in my spirit today. Will this church fully recover? Yes, it will. Will it be better than it's ever been in its history? Yes, it will. I've come with a yes in my spirit today. For every valley, for every impossibility, for every dark cloud, for every emotional trauma, you're going to recover. Somebody shout yes. The Christian experience is painted with a colorful brush everywhere in the scripture. And I promise you that being a Christian is anything and everything except dry bones. Being dry is never anywhere in the equation. of being a Christian. Amen. Amen. Every Sunday is happy hour. And the Spirit's flowing. Hallelujah. There's always something fresh. There's always something new. There's always new vision. There's always new hope. It's never about dry seasons. When God created Adam in the garden, he breathed into him and he became a living soul. It was the breath of God that gave Adam his very energy to live. Job said in 33:4, right in the middle of his trauma and trial, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Jesus said to his disciples in John 20:22, he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You know what we need in this house today? We need God to breathe on us. If life's got you down, if you've come tired and weary and worn out and you're out of energy and you're out of faith and you're out of hope and you feel like you're just barely making it, well, you just need to catch your breath. That's all you need to do. You just got to catch your breath. You know, I'm getting a little older now. I know I don't look old. I didn't get amen. I just got a bunch of laughing. I was fishing. That's a preacher fishing for an amen right there. Just put the hook out there to see if not one soul. I bet my wife probably said amen, amen. But I am getting older. And I go through all these airports and, you know, on and off these planes and up and down these steps. And used to be no problem. But I'll find myself the way it always is. You know, you come in at Terminal Z and you're leaving at Terminal A. And you got 20 minutes, and it's 3.5 miles. And so, you know, I do my thing, and I have my luggage. And there have been times I've been going and going and going and going and going and going. I just have to wheel off to the side and just stop. Catch my breath. Every once in a while, you just have to stop and catch your breath. Amen. It gets a little much for you. It all piles up on you. You're not keeping up. And come on, somebody. You just need to catch your breath here today. It happens to everyone. It happens to all of us somewhere in life. But we get to the house of God on Sunday. I say, oh, thank God. I'm just going to catch my breath right here in the house of God. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the rest wherein the weary find rest. Amen. Let your praise out. Amen. And catch your breath here today. Let the strength of the Lord come soaking down into your spirit. I prophesy to you right now, you're going to leave here stronger than you came in. You're going to leave here with faith you didn't have when you walked in these doors. You came in tired, but you're going to leave energized. You came in weary, but you're going to leave full of rest, because the Lord is your strength. And the Lord is your refuge, and he's your ever-present help in the time of trouble. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Amen. The Lord is on your side. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? I feel something swelling up in me like a river of living water today. I feel the winds of refreshing and renewing. I feel the rains of a new season. I feel like everything's going to be all right. I've got a feeling in my soul that everything, come on, can you get that feeling? It's going to be all right. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's not as hopeless as you think it is. It's not as impossible as you think it is. We serve a great big God. He's going to stretch forth his mighty hand. He's going to step forward. Amen. And it's going to be a step of faith and grace for your life and for mine. Somebody ought to shout yes. Are you coming out? Are you going to be strong? Are you going to be victorious? There's a yes in our spirit. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord. There's a yes in your spirit. You can be seated. We've all preached on this, Pastor. I won't take time to read the scriptures and everything. I'll just paraphrase it. But in the Old Testament, the Bible tells them, when you come to the house of the Lord. If you come in by way of the north gate, leave by way of the south gate. And if you come in by way of the east gate, leave by way of the west gate. And if you come in by the west, leave by the east, and by the south, by the north. I was talking with our good friend Brother Huntley the other day. He showed me something. He said, you know, we've all preached, amen, that means when you come to church, you should leave different than you came. Leave different. Leave some other way than the way in which you came. But that's not exactly what it says. It doesn't say leave some other way or some different way. It said if you came by the north, leave by the south. There's no options there. If you came this way, you have to leave that way. If you came by the east, then you need to leave by the west. So it wasn't just leave some other way or some different way. Here's what it was. Leave opposite from the way you came. So if you came discouraged, leave encouraged. If you came down, it's only one way out. Leave up. If you came with no faith, the only way out of here is to leave with faith. I want somebody to say, I'm leaving out of here exactly opposite how I came in. I'm going out with faith. I'm going out with anointing. I'm going out with blessing. Yes, I can, and yes, I will. Somebody shout, yes. Now watch. God has a plan for our situations. Your valley, mine. What he will do is this, through the prophetic word. You say, well, this preacher, he's a power of positive thinking. Man, I'm way beyond that. I left positive thinking, man, years ago. Amen. I'm way off in the deep waters of the prophetic now. It's not just inspiration. This is divine inspiration. This is not me making you feel better. This is God making you feel better. Amen. If I can, I'll encourage you, but sometimes I need encouragement myself. I wish I could tell you everything was just wonderful for me, but I got my own set of problems. You don't want to hear about that. I preached to y'all about bleeding faith and all that stuff. You know how bad it can get. Hallelujah. But this divine inspiration, this prophecy comes from God. And when the prophetic word starts coming into your spirit and the prophetic word gets into your mind and your ears hear what thus saith the Lord, it's more than just a feel-good feeling for the moment. A seed takes root in your soul and something starts to change. What changes? I'm going to tell you what changes. Not only the atmosphere of your heart, but everything around you will change. God, here's my prophecy for you today. God will transform the elements that were meant for your demise and turn them into your ally. He will take the very thing the devil meant for harm and turn it around to be your blessing. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And no voice raised in accusation against you is going to prosper. Because God is going to cause all things to work together for your good. Who am I prophesying to? Can this prophecy be for you? Somebody ought to shout yes. Could he be talking about my situation? Somebody ought to shout yes. Can your life receive the help of the Lord? Yes. You say, well, why? Why you got to get so wild about it? Yelling and throwing your arms around and throwing your leg out and your ties flying around. Why you gotta get like all that about it? Because sometimes you have to get renewed in faith before you can receive the prophetic word. I love you. But most of the time, most of us are not even in the spiritual condition to receive fresh vision. We're in the condition of these bones, or at least we feel like we are, worn down by life, without faith. And without faith, the answer to the situation is beyond you. So you have to be revived with a song. And you have to be revived with a word. And you have to be revived with a high praise. And with a prophetic unction. So you can receive fresh direction from the Lord. Because weary minds have no strength to receive the fresh word from the Lord. So why don't somebody praise the Lord and refresh your mind. The Lord's trying to speak to you today. Refresh your mind. Say hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Ezekiel, now grown, no longer a child, carried away to the valley of dry bones. 10 tribes of Israel now were widely scattered amongst all the surrounding nations. They seemed all but lost as a people. Tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi had been conquered, carried away captive. It looked like their national identity. Listen to this carefully, Pastor. Probably most of this right here is for you. It looked like their national identity was forever gone, and they would never again return to the promised land, former glory, or original destiny. Their bones were a constant reminder. Their men were dead. Their strength was gone. And there's no realistic opportunity for recovery from this. But I've come to tell you today, the bones shall live. Everything that's ever died, everything that's ever been lost, everything that ever slipped away, I'm here to tell you, look out over the scattered bones of every vision, of every dream, of every hope, of every failed faith. And the Lord's saying, hey, Pastor, are you ready now? You think I can bring these bones back alive? And the man of God may be tired and his faith may be stretched, but there's a yes coming into the spirit of the man of God today. We'll not only recover, but we will be better. We will revive and we will thrive. It's going to be greater than it could have ever been and would have ever been. The Lord said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you into your own land. I'm going to bring you into your own place. Woo! It's coming again, church. I don't know how long it's going to be from right now, but I am prophesying flat-footed to this assembly that the Lord has determined by his sovereign will to bring this church again into its own land and into its own place. And it's going to take a mighty miracle, but he's a miracle-working God. Somebody shout yes. You can be seated. I'm about out of time here according to my timer, so I'll rush on. But these bones had no breath. Israel had no breath. The bones are a symbol for you and I. They represent times in our life when we feel like we are beyond recovery. Financial situations can take the life out of you. Family problems can take the life out of you, the breath out of you. Ongoing sickness takes the life out of you. Marriage, disasters, failures, or just stress takes the life out of you. Accidents, tragedies take our breath away. Sometimes it's just the daily grind of life wears us down, and we can find ourselves in a place where it feels like we cannot get our strength back. Feels like we're just existing, not really living. Just stumbling through every day. Just working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Just existing, not really enjoying life. We cuddle our destroyed dreams, our derailed destinies, and our frustrated faith. Ezekiel's valley of bones was dry. And it's worse than that. According to the scripture, they were indeed very dry. There was no breath in them. They were drying out. They were being reduced to dust. They would soon be blown away with the winds of time. And the elements were not their friend. Every sunrise was their enemy. Because every day the sun came up, it bleached them just the more. The rains would come, and that was not their friend. Because the rain would just wash away and chip away at them. The winds would come, and the winds were not their friend. Because the winds would just blow more of them away, reducing them yet the more. Spiritual dryness is a frustrating and unfruitful condition. Are you spiritually dry? I'm going to help you diagnose yourself before we close. If you're spiritually dry, God feels distant from you. You're not really hearing His voice or feeling His spirit like you'd like to. If you're spiritually dry, you have little to give to others around you. You just feel like you're all give out. Mental strength is not there to be strong for someone else. Emotional strength is so low, you feel like you just can't listen or deal with or be aware of somebody else's problem. You almost feel like you're on the edge of burnout. You feel so depleted and so stressed, so little to give to help someone else. You're fulfilling your responsibilities, but more out of a sense of duty than a sense of joy. You're doing what you need to do because you know you need to do it. Existing but not enjoying. Spiritual dryness. Spiritual life is in a rut. Little prayer or no prayer. Little or no personal devotion. Minimal worship in the house of God. Very little participation in the church service or in kingdom work. Can't get involved in the church. I'm barely making it. I can't give to the kingdom. I'm barely getting by myself. And then negative thinking sets into the spiritual dry soul. Things, they start waking up every day expecting it's going to get worse instead of get better. They feel a real lack of answers, a real lack of hope for the future. And now that begins to facilitate this inward insecurity until every day it almost they start getting panicky. All of these are symptoms of a dry life. A life without spiritual rivers flowing, without spiritual winds blowing. It's the dryness that is wearing you away and the negativeness that has set into your spirit. And so now that we've got the picture of how bad dryness really is, I just ask you again our prophetic question. Can you recover? Can you live? Is there a comeback? Is there an answer? Can you get out of that valley? Can you come out of that dryness? Can you recover your positive mentality? Can you wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Can you see yourself throwing open the curtains and saying, look out, world, I'm up. Can you see yourself beginning to say, hey, I've got a great future. Something good is going to happen to me. I'm so glad to be alive. I've got so much to live for. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. I've come to tell somebody today, there is a fresh wind blowing in this house. He said with stammering lips and with another tongue, he will speak to his people. He said, this is the rest in which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. I speak a renewing into your spirit today. I speak a spiritual refreshing into you today. You're not going to be dry forever. You're not going to be depressed forever. You're not going to be discouraged forever. You're not going to be in that valley forever. You're coming out of that thing. Just keep on walking. Just keep on believing. Just put one step in front of the other. I feel like the Lord is going to make a way where there is no way. He said, whoever drinks of the waters of this earthly well will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. You hear this preacher today. Amen. You don't have to go out and get high. If you go get high, it'll wear off and you'll have to get high again. You don't have to go out and get drunk. It'll wear off and you'll have to get drunk again. You don't have to go to a party the party will end and you'll have to go to another one. He said, if you drink of these wells, you're just going to get thirsty again. But if you drink of the well that I have for you, I'll put a well inside of you that'll spring up from the inside. You won't have to go get it. It'll be with you when you wake up. It'll be with you when you go to sleep. It'll be with you in the loneliest night. It'll be with you in the darkest valley. It will be in you, a well springing up to everlasting life. Our musicians could come and get in place up here. Woo! Let me tell you something I've started doing lately that I recommend you do. I've started doing what I call daily declarations. When you wake up in the morning, before you have a chance to think about your situation, before you take inventory of all the problems you're going to have to deal with today, before you even get a chance to think on any of that, first thought, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Before you think about your situation, before you try to balance your checkbook, before you go open all the envelopes to see how much money you owe and read all the overdue notices, say, the Lord is my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. When you open your eyes, before the devil even has a chance to realize you're awake, you need to open up your mouth and release a declaration of faith. Say, these bones are gonna live. You need to open up while you're still laying in bed, while your eyes are still cloudy, while you're still half asleep. You need to look up, amen, and with the loudest voice you can come up with, say, I will live and not die. If the Lord be for me, who can be against me? Woo! There's something in this house right now. I feel an overflow coming in here. There's a refreshing coming in this place. Somebody catch your breath with a praise. The presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and it's all over this house. By the authority that is upon me as a man of God, in the name of Jesus, I break every chain of bondage. You will be free. You will be liberated. You will think thoughts that are good and not evil. You will feel the faith of God and not be suffocated by doubt. I release the spirit of deliverance. I open up the floodgates of heaven. Let the angels of deliverance come into this house. Let the angels of deliverance come into this room right now. I believe every dry bone is going to receive a fresh breath. I've come to tell you, God is going to turn the elements around. Watch. Remember the sun? That was the enemy. Once the Lord starts working in your life, you have a scripture like this. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm not dreading the sunrise. The sunrise that was my enemy has become my friend, because when the sun comes up, it's the new day that the Lord has made. He'll take those sunrises that were your enemy and turn them into your ally. I'm prophesying somebody's mornings are going to get better. You're not going to dread the morning. You're going to wake up in the morning, amen, with a smile on your face and with faith in your heart and a new song in your spirit. Remember the rain that would fall and wash away the bones? It was not their friend. But when your spirit filled, he said, I'll give you the former rain and I'll give you the latter rain. And I give them to you in the first month. And we know that the rain is an end time symbol of revival. Until the prophet said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And the rain is going to be refreshing. And the rain is going to be renewal. And the rain is going to become your friend. I've preached a lot in Ethiopia. Very dry and arid place with a lot of famine. I saw something in 11 years of crusades there, big crusades, 500,000 people. Every year for 11 years on our last service on the last day, the skies would open up and pour down rain. And you would think everybody would run for cover, like we did today, coming in from outside. Umbrellas, running for cover, getting out of the rain. Those precious Ethiopian people, when that rain started falling, they started dancing. Because rain said we're not in drought. Rain said the crops are going to grow. And that when it started raining, they'd play the music louder. And I expected everybody to leave, but instead people started joining. And I'd look out there and see hundreds of thousands of people leaping and shouting and dancing while the rain was falling, because he'll turn what was your enemy into your ally. Remember the wind blowing those old dry bones away? Oh, in Pentecost, we love the wind. Because when the day of Pentecost was fully come, suddenly I heard a sound from heaven like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The wind that was wearing us down is now the wind that will make us win. It will build us up. You just got to catch your breath, because I'm prophesying today, the sun is now your friend, the rain is now your friend, the wind is now your friend. Everything that was against you is for you, because the prophetic word, I command the sunrises to bless God's people in the name of Jesus. I command the rainfall to refresh God's people in the name of Jesus. And Lord, today we pray, let the wind blow, let the rain fall, let the anointing release us. Any dry bones in this house? Are you ready? If you're a dry bone, if there's been some dryness in your life, if you have broken dreams, derailed destinies, something that seems beyond you, get up here in this altar right now, because we're getting ready to speak a word of faith. He said, prophet, prophesy to the bones. And I've been prophesying on you since you walked in here. Now get your mind right on Jesus. Here comes a fresh anointing. Here comes a fresh anointing. I'm going to speak the word of faith. When you hear me shout hallelujah in this microphone, I wish you'd make it sound like a thundercloud in this house. When I shout hallelujah, I want you to shout hallelujah. Shout it with the loudest voice, with both hands in the air. Shout it into the atmosphere like a voice of prophecy to your future. Hallelujah means I give all myself to God. And this hallelujah is my turnaround in the name of Jesus. I prophesy a turnaround into your situation. Get ready to shout with me with a loud hallelujah. By the authority of the word of God, and by the power of the name Jesus, I release recovery and refreshing and renewal to every dry bone, dry situation, dry valley, and dry life in this place. Shout hallelujah! Woo! I hear the sound of abundance of rain.
Hallelujah. Spirit of rain, rain down. Spirit rain,
Holy Spirit rain.
Lord, you're the turnaround God. You're the one that turns life around, turns situations around. Lord, you put us in the right place at the right time to receive what you have for us. Lord, you put her right here in the right atmosphere, so that, Lord, the atmosphere of her heart and of her future can have a breakthrough in the name of the Lord. Loose your praise and loose your destiny. Loose your praise and loose your future. Woo! Yes! Yes! It's me! You don't have the strength, but he has the strength. You're going to be all right by the help of the Lord. He can work it out. Make the crooked places straight. Bring light into the darkness.